Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. With things changing in our world at such a rapid pace every day, Pastor Rick has prayerfully decided to bring us the second installment of his powerful series on faith, taken from the book of James. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
I want you to know that I've been praying for you during the COVID-19 pandemic all around the world. I know it's really tough. So many people are out of work. Many have lost loved ones. And so many people are quarantined at home these days, that this is a day that people really need hope. So I want to challenge you to get your friends and listen to this entire series of Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. This is a series of messages that will make a difference in your life. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And I want you to know I love you. God bless you.
Stay with us as we begin our series. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That De-escalates Conflict.
James chapter 3, verse 18. It says this, "Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace, and they will reap a harvest of goodness." Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. James 3, 18. Now, in our last session, I explained the six seeds of peace that James tells us in the verses right before that we're to plant. And he says, if you'll plant these things in your relationships, you're going to have happy, good, strong relationships. Today, I want us to continue looking at how to be peacemakers in a world full of conflict. You know, three of the most important life skills that you have to learn in life are how to de-escalate a conflict, how to resolve a conflict, and how to reconcile after a conflict, a strained or a broken relationship. If you don't learn these three skills, you're going to spend a lot of your life miserable. You know why? Because we're all different. God made us all different, and that means we're bound to have conflict almost every day of our lives. These are important skills that you need to learn and use literally everywhere. You're going to use them at work. You're going to use them at home, at school. You got to use them at church, in your community, in your small group, literally everywhere. Now, here's the problem. Nobody taught you these skills. Nobody. You didn't learn how to diffuse a conflict or de-escalate one. You didn't learn how to resolve a conflict. You didn't learn how to reconcile a relationship. You certainly didn't learn them from your parents. In fact, they might have been a terrible model of conflict resolution because nobody taught them. See, they don't have classes on conflict in schools. You've never had a class on how to de-escalate a conflict, and yet it's one of the most important skills for you to be happy in life. Protesters in over 2,000 cities have been protesting over some incidents where people did the opposite of diffusing and de-escalating a conflict. In fact, it went the opposite direction. And because it got escalated instead of de-escalated, Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks all ended up dead. That's a tragedy. And I think our entire nation needs the message that I want to share with you right now. So I want to encourage you to take notes. You can download this outline and not only take notes on this, but teach it to your children too. Again, let's go back to our theme verse, James 3:18. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and they will reap a harvest of goodness. He's talking about peacemakers. Now, you know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. So the proof that you're really a child of God, the proof that you're really born again, that you're on your way to heaven, that you're in the family of God, the proof is that you are a peacemaker in the world, not a troublemaker, not a conflict maker, but a peacemaker. Now, before we look at how do you defuse a conflict from God's word, let me tell you a couple things that peacemaking is not, okay? You might write these down. First, peacemaking is not avoiding And number two, peacemaking is not appeasing. It's not avoiding, and it's not appeasing. Some people think, I keep the peace in my marriage by just avoiding everything. I don't rock the boat. I sweep everything under the rug. I swallow it. I grin and I bear it. I just avoid the areas that cause us conflict. That's not peacemaking. That's cowardice. That doesn't help at all. It doesn't grow your relationship in Christ. It doesn't build your marriage or any friendship or anything else. So peacemaking is not running away from the problem or avoiding the problem or heading the opposite direction of the problem. It's not avoiding. It's also not appeasing. Now, appeasing means I always give in, that whoever I have conflict with, they always get their way. Peace at any price. It's appeasement. Appeasement is not peacemaking. In fact, that's called codependency, when you're always giving in all the time. Jesus Christ never ran from a legitimate conflict. He knew how to diffuse conflict. He knew how to deal with it face on. He knew how to resolve it, and he knew how to restore a relationship. So what I want to do this weekend is teach you what you've never been taught before in school or probably anywhere else, and that is the 10 biblical steps for defusing a tense situation. And boy, does our nation and our world need this right now. All right? Get out your pencil. Here they are. The biblical steps for defusing a conflict. Number one, lower my voice. Lower my voice. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle response, that's lowering your voice, will calm a person's anger, but harsh words stir up intense fury. Now, you know this is true, that the louder you get, the louder the other person gets in an argument. When you start yelling or they start yelling, then you're both going to do the same thing. And the reason why the first thing you need to do in any conflict is to lower your voice, there's a couple reasons for it. In the first place, your brain doesn't operate at the same level all the time. You have lower levels, which are kind of more emotional and instinctual, and you're not even thinking about it. And then you have the higher levels, where you're thinking pretty sharp and pretty smart. At your highest level is your cortex in your brain. And in your cortex, that's where you have the capacity for speech. That's where you have the capacity for strategizing, for planning, for thinking, for reasoning. When you're using your cortex, you're thinking smart. You're much more able to work on a problem and solve it creatively when you're using your cortex. But when you get fearful, or when you get afraid, or when you get angry, you drop out of your cortex and you move down into the limbic part of your brain, which is just instinctual. And at that point, you don't think straight. And you call names, and you get mad, and you yell, and you say things you would later regret because you're down in the limbic part of your brain. Anytime you're in a conflict and you start to get fearful or you start to get more angry, you drop out of your cortex and you're just not smart anymore. You might write this down. The more I raise my voice, the more I lower my intelligence. The more I raise my voice, the more I lower my intelligence. Because you're not, when you're yelling, you're not in the cortex part of your brain. You're not in the smart thinking, rational human part. You're down in the instinctual gut part. Now, not only is that one of the reasons why you need to speak quieter, lower, softer, but you also have in your brain a thing that's called mirror neurons. You see, years ago, thousands of years ago, the Bible says, lower your voice, you know, it's, be quiet. But when you speak, that gentle answer turns away wrath. We didn't know the neuroscience behind it. Today, we know that in your brain, you have what are called mirror neurons. Mirror neurons are the ability to feel what you see. The only reason you like to go to the movies is because God gave you mirror neurons. And when you see somebody being kissed on a screen, you feel that kiss. And when you see somebody getting angry on a screen, you get angry. And when you see somebody wanting to get revenge in a movie, it's not even a real story. But you feel the need for revenge, and you feel the need for justice. And so when they're happy, you get happy. And when they're sad, tears come to your eyes. It's not even a real story when you're watching a motion picture. But it's called mirror neurons. And because we have mirror neurons, the same is true in an argument. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back, because their mirror neurons are going to back it back to you. So if you get angry, they're going to get angrier. If you start yelling, they're going to start yelling. If you get sarcastic, they're going to get sarcastic. Those mirror neurons in your brain actually simply reflect what you sow, you're going to reap in any argument. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 17 says this: "The quiet words of a wise person are more effective than the shouting of a leader of fools." The quiet words of a wise person are more effective than the shouting of the leader of fools. Shouting means you've already moved out of the higher level of thinking. So the starting point in de-escalating any conflict is to lower your voice. Just lower your voice. Don't get loud. Go soft if you want to get progress. Number two, real practical here, breathe and slow down the pace of your speaking. Just take a deep breath and slow down the pace of your speaking. The more angry you get, the faster you talk. And the faster you talk, it creates anger in other people. Not just the loudness of what you say, but how fast you say it. And when you're rattling it off like you're a machine gun, you're going to feel, people are going to feel offended. They're going to feel defensive. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 29, verse 11. I love this in the New American Bible. "A fool gives full vent to his anger." A fool gives full vent. In other words, he just lets it go. He just vomits on people with all of his anger and his arrogance or whatever. A fool gives full vent to his anger. "But by biding his time, the wise man calms it down." How do you calm down your anger when the situation is escalating at home or at work, or on a protest line, or anywhere else? How do you bring it down? He says, by biding your time, the wise man calms it down.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. That's PastorRick.com.
Today, so many people are confused about who they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives. That's because they're looking in the wrong places and living by values that are at odds with God's values. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together Building Your Life on Values That Last, that will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. This vegan leather-bound, full-color, beautifully illustrated guided study will reveal what God has to say about responsibility, trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. And it will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. It'll show you practical ways to make the changes you need to get back on track. And here's the best part. You don't have to do this on your own strength. God will guide you every step along the way. Building Your Life on Values That Last is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, application exercises, and lots of space for you to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. This comprehensive study tool will help you go deeper as you follow Jesus, and it's yours when you support Daily Hope financially. Call 800-600-5004 right now to get yours, or go to PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
How do you calm down your anger when it's the situation is escalating at home or at work or on a protest line or anywhere else? How do you bring it down? He says, by biding your time. The wise man calms it down. You know, the first guy who said this was Thomas Jefferson. He said, when you're angry, count to 10, and if you're very angry, count to 100. He's the guy who came up with that idea on dealing with anger management. It's actually true. By biding your time, you will calm down. So you want to lower your voice, and you want to slow your speech when you're starting to get upset. Proverbs 15, verse 18. I love this in the Message and the New Century Version. People with hot tempers start fights, and they cause trouble. But a calm, cool spirit keeps the peace. How do you keep the peace? With a calm, cool spirit. Another verse that says something similar is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4. In the Message, it says this. If a ruler, or anybody else for that matter, if a ruler or anybody else for that matter loses his temper against you, don't panic. A calm disposition quiets intemperate rage. A calm disposition quiets intemperate rage. If somebody comes at you with the full force of anger, he says, don't panic. Don't let your mirror neurons respond that way, but slow down, lower your voice, take a breath, and slow your speech. And he says, that's what wise people do. Number three, third step in de-escalating a conflict, listen more than I talk. Listen more than I talk. Now, we keep coming back to this verse in James chapter 1, verse 19, because it has so many applications. James 1, 19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you do the first two, the third is automatic. If you're quick to listen and you're slow to speak, you will be slow to get angry. On the other hand, we do the exact opposite. We're quick to speak. We're slow to listen. And as a result, we're fast to get angry. No, the Bible says you need to listen. Okay, just slow down and listen. Proverbs 13, verse 10. You know, I'm laughing about this because this weekend is our 45th anniversary, Kay and I, and 45 years ago this weekend, we were off on our honeymoon, and on our honeymoon, we started arguing, and the first Bible verse we had to learn together in our marriage, we hadn't got off our honeymoon before we memorized Proverbs 13:10. And I'll tell you, in the King James Version, it says, only by pride cometh contention. But in the Message, here's what it says. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord. Okay? When you think you already know what your wife or your husband or somebody else is going to say, or you think you understand them and you don't, you're just going to stir up discord. That's pride. That's arrogance. And the rest of that verse says, arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord. In other words, they create conflict. Pride is the source of all conflict. But, he says, wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. Oh, my goodness. Dads, are you listening to your wife's counsel? And vice versa? Wise men and wise women listen to each other's counsel. Why is it so hard to hear advice from the person that you love the most? I don't know. But the Bible tells us that we need to put our pride aside, and we need to listen. But we need to listen for something very specific, and that's number four. In the fourth step of diffusing conflict, listen for the hurt behind the words. Well, if you get this, you're going to really make progress in your relationships. Stop listening to the words and start listening for the emotions behind the words. What they're saying is not nearly as important as the emotion they're communicating. Are they afraid? They may not be saying, "I'm afraid," but they may be afraid. They may be depressed. They may be jealous. They may be anxious. Look for the hurt behind the words.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, today, so many people are confused about what they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives. That's because they're looking in the wrong places and living by values that are at odds with God's values. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together a new resource that will help you develop and apply God's values in your life. It's called Building Your Life on Values That Last. This vegan leather-bound, full-color, beautifully illustrated guided study will reveal what God has to say about responsibility, trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. And it will show you practical ways to make the changes you need to get back on track. And here's the best news. You don't have to do this in your own strength. God will guide you every step along the way. It's filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, application exercises, and lots of space to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. This comprehensive study tool will help you go deeper as you follow Jesus. And it's yours when you support Daily Hope financially. Call 800-600-5004 right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's 800-600-5004, or just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Did you know that you can listen to Daily Hope every day through our podcast? Many of our listeners say they make this part of their quiet time each day. You can actually download the podcast at PastorRick.com. And then you can listen on the go whenever it's convenient for you. For instance, Debbie, one of our listeners, says that she listens on her lunch break. Here's what she wrote. "Hey, Pastor Rick, your podcast is the perfect way to just relax from a busy job, and it refreshes, it fills my heart with hope and energy. Helps me be a light for Jesus in what is sometimes a stressful and tiring day. I recently came out of a 2-year period of depression and chronic stress brought on by my mother's passing." I'm sorry, Debbie. "And she said it took a long time to rebuild my confidence and hope and to restore my daily connection with God. But the format of the Daily Hope podcast is just perfect in that it's 25 minutes of godly, practical, biblical teaching that I can absorb. Now, having it available online for free," she says, "has been such a blessing. It's made such a significant impact on my personal healing. And so I'm happily sending money to support this podcast because I know it's a good soul and spirit food for anybody who listens to it. Bless you, and thank you for teaching me how God works through the pain that life sometimes brings. You remain a spiritual lighthouse to me." Well, Debbie, I know that God's going to continue to help you grow, help you learn, and I'm blessed that He's using Daily Hope Podcast to do that in your life. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. And thanks to all of you for supporting Daily Hope. Your financial gifts make it possible for us to tell people around the world that there's hope in Jesus. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. And I pray that you'll receive God's blessings, because I know that even when you can't see them, God is pouring His blessings into your life.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.